They were all seeking the company of Jesus, the presence of God. This man, Christ, welcomes sinners and eats with them. Christ welcomes all into his church, and I welcome you on his behalf. Be ye Catholic or non-Catholic, practicing or non-practicing, you're all welcome here at Holy Spirit Church this morning as we celebrate an epic moment in your children's spiritual life, their first Holy Communion. For they, too, are seeking the company of Jesus. They are seeking his presence. Why? Well, why do we seek God's presence in our life? In this Jubilee Year of Mercy, we seek his presence because he brings mercy, and mercy takes away our misery. Miserable. We can be all miserable at times, and spiritual misery is deadly to the soul. And so we offset that with the antidote, which is the mercy of God. And in the New Testament, there are four Gospels, as you know. One of those Gospels was written by a physician, a doctor, a Greek academic. His name was Luke. He never physically saw Christ. He came afterwards. But in chapter 15, almost halfway through his Gospel, he dedicates the whole chapter to the three great parables of mercy. Three of them. You've heard two of the stories this morning. The third is the prodigal son, which perhaps is the most famous of the three. The other two is the lost sheep and the lost coin. And that's what this weekend's Gospel's all about. The three parables of mercy. Think of it in these terms. There's three ways we lose God. God never loses us. We lose him. We drift from his mercy into misery. Or perhaps we've never encountered his mercy. The sheep, one is lost. 99 are saved. Now, you or I would say, well, 99's here. I'm not going to go search for the one after all. What's the point in losing the 99 to save one? In God's book, every human being is important. Every one of us is of value. We are all created for perfect happiness, which does not lightly honour. And God goes in search of each and every one of us at key moments of our life. We, however, must be willing to be found. The lost coin, the old word for a coin, is a drachma. And back in ancient times, the woman would wear the 10 coins, large coins, with a hole drilled through them around her neck like a necklace. That was necessary for marriage. That was the dowry. And of course, the set of 10 she'd wear were not just symbolic 10, but of value. And to lose one meant, oh, I might not get the right man. Her destiny, her future lay in finding that lost coin. And so she searches until she finds it. And then she's got her set back and she's available and waiting. The coin was found because she was persistent. She looked and looked until she found it. But of course, the third parable, as I mentioned, is of the two sons. One squanders the inheritance, one stays at home. Both rebel against their father, and the father is God. One finds forgiveness, the other we don't know the end of the story. And that's the case with some people. We don't know their destiny. God does, we don't. Now, on the bulletin, I've got question time. And of the three that were lost, the sheep, the coin, the son, they are all lost in different ways. The sheep is lost because sheep are stupid. I don't know about you, but I've worked on farms. They're just dumb creatures. They're nice and cuddly, but they're dumb. You know, one goes this way, they all go that way. It might not be the right way to go, but they just go together as a flock. If one gets lost, it's because it's perhaps in the wrong place at the wrong time. So too, people are lost today to God, and they live in misery because perhaps of carelessness in their life. They haven't been as diligent or bothered as much as they ought with their prayer, going to Mass, tuning into the reality that they have a soul and a destiny, a life hereafter. But the Good Shepherd goes in search of them. Secondly, the coin is lost Not because the coin is stupid. Coins aren't stupid. Coins are things. The coin is lost because somebody else is careless. In this case, the woman. And there are people in this church right now today, and perhaps at home or at the football, wherever, who are lost to God, living in misery because somebody else did something to them or didn't do something that ought to. The church has been through and is still in a horrific phase of child abuse. And we apologise for that. It should never have happened. But abuse is still ongoing in homes, other institutions, and people are hurt. Not because they've done something, but rather somebody else has done something to them. And we need to find those souls. Heal them, help them, and bring them home. Because it's not their fault it has happened. Lastly, the two sons represent both, well, all of us really, that we can live a life with God or without God. The choice is ours. And each day is one less moment in this life, or one step closer to the next. And every day, in some way, we make a choice to find God's mercy or to live in misery. That's the story of this weekend, the three parables of mercy. What's it got to do with your children and First Holy Communion? Simply this. We all want the presence of Jesus. And in Holy Communion, he comes in the most unique manner. He comes hidden under the appearance of bread in the host and feeds our soul. He brings his presence, his warmth, his comfort, and most of all, his mercy within. And for you good parents who bothered to have your children baptised into God's family, today is a key moment. Because your children, as you have fed their bodies now for 7, 8, 9 years, God's going to feed their soul and prepare them for the life hereafter. The presence that will enter into them today is a foretaste, a preparation for that day when they depart from here. And God says, I know you. I've been with you. I have loved you from eternity and fed you on the journey home to heaven. That's why today is so special. It takes away the sadness, the misery that we creatures cause to each other and fills it. Fills that void with love and mercy, the peace, and most of all, the joy that God alone can give. So children, rejoice that you have loving parents who have loved you into life, who have brought you to this stage of spiritual development, and be most joyful that you have a God in heaven and a mother on earth, Holy Mother Church, who will accompany you each year, each decade, until that day comes. So we pray for the children today as they make this their first Holy Communion. We pray it may not be their last. We pray that you may bring your children to Mass each Sunday, that they might not die of spiritual malnutrition, but be fortified, strengthened, and helped by the grace that God gives us and wants to give us, so that we might live as we ought. But most of all, that we might have his presence, which all people seek, within their hearts and thus in your homes. So we encourage you in that regard, and we remind you, wherever you are on your journey, whatever has happened to you in the past, there's always hope. Hope is that flame that God has lit within. Don't let it flicker and go out. Don't snuff it out, but nurture it, care for it, and be known, be aware that you are always welcome in God's family, and bring your children often to partake of the graces and the joys that he alone can give to prepare us in this life for the life hereafter. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.